I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the IGO-INGO Working Group meeting on Wednesday, 26th June 2013. On the call today, we have Jim Bykoff, Alan Greenberg, Catherine Gribbin, Wolfgang Kleinwächter, David Maher, Drew Lawter, Osvaldo Novoa, Thomas Rickett, and Mason Cole. And from staff, we have Barry Cobb, Brian Peck.
Thank you.
And myself, Shigeta Hoyen. We have apologies from Dean Sidney. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Julia. My name is Thomas Rickett, and I'm chairing this working group. And I would like to welcome all of you to this call, which will hopefully not take the anticipated 120 minutes. Before we dive into the agenda, let me ask you whether there are any updates to statements of interest. Hearing and reading none in the chat, let's move to the second and only other agenda item which we would like to discuss with you today, and that is the preparation for the upcoming ICANN meeting in Durban. You will remember that during the last call we have informed you that there is an opportunity for us to have a session on IGO-INGO identifier protection issues, and we would like to further specify the format of that meeting with you, and you will have seen in the on the mailing list that Barry and Brian have thankfully prepared a proposal for the format, and you see that in the Adobe, and we're going to discuss that in a moment. And I should also let you know that basically there are two different approaches that we presented to you for this upcoming meeting. One of them has mainly been prepared by Barry and Brian, and the other includes suggestions that I made. I'm not going to disclose now what my ideas were, because I will make those ideas mine that find more positive feedback from you. But kidding aside, why don't we briefly go through the document? I guess, although I don't want to waste your time by reading out documents to you, but I think it's of utmost importance that we have a clear view on the objective for this meeting. You can find this in the objective content. For those who are not speaking, use your microphone. Can those of you who are not speaking please mute the microphones? Thank you.
Especially those with the vacuum cleaners running in the background.
Yes.
Background?
So please
foreground.
Pause your vacuum cleaning for a moment. Okay, maybe the operator can find out which line that is, because I guess it's going to be hard. Can you please mute your microphone if you're not speaking? Thank you. Now, I think this group, because it's more or less our topic or subject matter that we've been discussing for the last couple of months, will be discussed with the community on that occasion. And we should be very clear on what we try to achieve with this meeting. And you find that on at the very top of the documents, and let me read that out for you. It's only three lines. The purpose is to raise awareness of why this issue is important and provide transparency on the working group deliberations, contrasting positions to date, and secondly, to facilitate interactive discussion and solicit feedback from the community on key outstanding issues to help the working group in moving forward. I guess that this this pretty nicely enshrines what we would like to achieve, because as you will have noted when talking to other members in the community, some do think that this is a minute implementation detail, and they wonder why we spend so long and have such long discussions on this subject. And also there were questions by the GAC as to why the GNSO starts a PDP on this topic. So I guess this is an excellent opportunity for us to present to the community why we're doing what we're doing, where we stand, and where we would very much like to obtain feedback from the community. Because as you do know, we have now published the initial report prior to conducting a consensus call, and this was done in the hope that we would get further inspiration and input from the community that would help us in maybe coming up, or hopefully coming up, with compromise positions. Now, the proposed format, and this is basically where the two proposed approaches to this meeting are still in sync, is that we provide a brief overview on where we stand, and that we would also like to encourage input and participation from the audience. The questions that we need to ask ourselves is how detailed we're going to be in our preparations. So if you look at the first suggestion that actually covers different topics, and these questions are called topic A, B, and C, and D, and E, and we would have panelists presenting various positions for each of those, while the second suggestion has more of a open format. So there would only be three questions that are more general in nature. Well, I don't know to what extent the members of the working group that are present on the call have had the chance to look into this, but I'd rather like to open the discussion than reading out the document to you. So is there any instant feedback from the group to the proposed format, or is there a wish that we maybe give you a minute or two to individually read it so that we can have a meaningful discussion?
Thomas, this is Barry.
Barry.
Just to carry on or piggyback from what you were saying, I think the difference between the two proposals that we're suggesting is the first of which you see on the first few pages before you really outlines what we had considered that are still some of the key issues that are being deliberated on within the working group at a more refined level. And then what the working group should ask themselves is this forum the right venue to be deep diving into specific issues that the working group is trying to deliberate on and find solutions for? Whereas I think that the second alternative is kind of taking a higher step back and looking at the issues more broadly and as Thomas suggested, more open. And so, you know, again, I think at the end of the day, it's a question that the working group needs to answer as to whether there is going to be benefit in this type of forum to specifically try to extract out what the unique positions are and if there's opportunities for coming together on them in this forum.
Thanks, Barry. Is there any feedback from the group? Or could you also please, Chuck, please.
Thanks, Thomas. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to look at this material before this call. I apologize for that. But as a general thought, I'm a little leery of asking general questions that would take us back to the beginning of our work. hopefully there's been time for people to weigh in on that through their various groups and their representatives on the working group. To me, it's more important for us to get feedback on the different options that we've come to rather than going backwards and asking general questions. Does that make sense?
Well, it certainly does. And I guess that's the reason why we ask you to make comments on this. There are pros and cons with this. Certainly, if the main purpose is to inform the community about where we are exactly and to get feedback on exactly where we are at the moment, I guess it can be specified. Although for a vivid and potentially controversial discussion, it may be a format that is a little bit narrow. While if you ask the questions more broadly, then certainly the moderator still has the opportunity and the panelists would have the opportunity to raise very specific points that the working group did come up with, but you would have more flexibility in reacting or opening the discussion to maybe suggestions from the community that we haven't thought of. And, you know, those might not be heard or might not get room if we are conducting this session in a very narrow and predefined format. Alan, please.
Thank you. From the preamble, I'm assuming that under the timing section, when it says group discussion, that is not just the group that's on the stage that presented their points of view, but the audience also. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. I think your timing is far too tight, and I understand you want to get all the subjects in, but I think you've got to be more flexible than this and allow opportunity, and I think you're going to have to be very controlled as to how the people on the panel will rebut any of the issues raised on the floor. So I think the structure needs some work, but I would prefer the former rather than the latter, because I think the latter one will just rehash issues we've talked about and really will not get into anything that might help us in the process. This has a slight, the first option I think has a slightly better chance, but the timing I think is going to have to be more flexible depending on the interest, and we have to make sure that it's not people on the stage just preaching. Thank you.
So let me ask you a follow-up question that, you know, I also think that the schedule for that meeting is ambitious with the proposed time allotted to the various topics. So if we maybe condensed the subjects into one or two less questions and have a little bit bigger headings but still be very concrete, that might do the trick to free up some more time for discussion there. Is that what you were asking for?
I guess so. I haven't actually done the arithmetic. We're talking here about an intro of 13 minutes and then, 16 minutes per topic. That all sounds, exceedingly tight, and, someone with a watch, cutting off conversation minute by minute. I just think it's a bit too aggressive.
Okay, so
I want substantive answers coming back. Some of the topics may not elicit a lot of answers. Others might.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alan. Any further contributions? Okay, while you... Who's that?
Thomas, this is Brian Peck, sorry.
Brian,
please. A couple things just to maybe... to help organize it. The list of proposed topics were, again, agreed upon. There were probably too many for the time that we have. They were more kind of to be offered as a selection, perhaps, that the working group could decide which of them, as you say, either combine them or select priority questions that could be utilized and maximize the amount of time available to provide hopefully effective and useful information. The other thing, just in terms of organizing the meeting and facilitating it, in terms of keeping it on track and you know, within the time frame, we could talk about this a little in a couple more minutes in more detail. But I've learned overnight that we have available to us the services of X-Plane, which are some professional facilitators who will be in Durban. They're mainly involved in the strategic planning initiative under Denise Michel, and Fadi is using them as well. They're, as I say, they're professional facilitators, and they've volunteered to facilitate this particular meeting in terms of moderating it, helping us maybe once we decide on the agenda and the format and the content and the substance, they can help us organize it in terms of, facilitating the actual running of the meeting and organizing it and that so forth. So that might maybe, if we can, narrow down the questions, as you say, to that what the working group feels is would be most useful, we do have some professional facilitators at our service to help us organize it in a hopefully an effective manner.
Well, that's excellent news. Thanks for the update, Brian. While you think about potentially combining or condensing the format to a lower number of questions, maybe we can talk about exactly this question of who should moderate the session. At the very bottom of the document, you find some suggestions for moderators, and I'm not sure whether this surprises Mary, so we don't certainly didn't want to put you on the spot, but during our preparations, your name was also mentioned. I guess that we would have the option of either asking a moderator from the community to help us with this session, or actually to use the services of the professional facilitators. Just a quick note regarding Mary, you will have read on the mailing list, or if you haven't, you should be informed now that Mary will no longer join this working group or participate in this working group as a member of the community, but she will join ICANN's policy team as of July 1st, if I'm not mistaken. And again, Mary, congratulations to that, and congratulations to ICANN for having picked you, which I think everybody will agree is an excellent addition to the already excellent policy team. So that would sort of ensure that Mary would not be biased in her moderation or present or represent the views of the group that she is currently associated with. And we thought that members of the working group would much appreciate Mary's expertise, her balanced and thoughtful contributions in this working group deliberations process, and that she could make an excellent moderator. So that's just to give you a little bit of background why we put her name on this list. Bruce, as you will have noted, has already led a comparable session during the last ICANN meeting, which is why we have listed him here. And Kevin Murphy, who is running the domaininsight.com blog, which very much specializes on the DNS industry or ICANN matters, is certainly an excellent expert who could also chair such a discussion. And, with these introductory remarks, I'd like to open it up, and Chuck is the first to comment on this. Chuck, maybe you're on mute.
I was, thank you. I was talking to myself. A few general comments again. I'm pretty comfortable with both Mary and Bruce just because I think they both have a good understanding of the subject matter, which I think will be pretty critical, and the work that's gone on it. The idea of a professional moderator is good, but I'm not sure how effective they can be without a lot of homework in preparing on this, and maybe they can do that. I don't know. Kevin, I've read tons of things by him. I have no idea what his ability is to moderate a session like this. So he may do very well, but I'm a little more comfortable with people that I have experience with. So that would be my general comments on this, on the topic of who should moderate.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thomas?
That's Jim. Yes, yes. Please.
I think I would be comfortable, I think I agree with Chuck, I'd be comfortable with either Mary or Bruce. I know, of course, Mary's been on the working group for a long time, and so she knows all the issues, and she's discussed them all on several occasions. Bruce has been active through the board on this issue, as well as many others involving protections. And I think he not only did he speak at the last meeting, but also he did a seminar in Washington, I think about a year ago, which included some content on special protection. So I know he's very well grounded in the issues also. So I think either Mary or Bruce would be good choices as a moderator.
Thanks, Jim. And since we do have Mary on the call, and she let us know in the chat that her quote-unquote nomination for this job caught her by surprise. So, Mary, if you have your audio on, maybe you could let us know whether you would be willing to consider taking this this responsibility. So, Mary, just for those who are not on the Adobe, has been typing in the chat that she doesn't have a microphone, so she will type. Mary, you don't have to answer now, but certainly it would be helpful for us to know whether you would be willing to do this. Let me read out your latest comment. Thanks for all their confidence in me. I'm fine doing it, but what about Ellen's question on optics? So since I do know that Alan has a microphone because he's been previously speaking, Alan, maybe you can elaborate on that a little more, and maybe we can have an exchange of thoughts on this.
Nothing more than what I put in the chat. I have complete confidence Mary could do it a balanced job. I have no worry about her being an ICANN staff member after fighting for various sides, just as the same is true for other people who have made that transition. I'm just wondering about, how it will be perceived that she has participated in this particular working group and is then doing that. So I'm raising an issue. I have no personal concerns.
Okay. Well, certainly the issue of perception is there, and this is why I mentioned it up front, and certainly that's something that would at least need to be voiced at the meeting to explain to the community how we came about with this suggestion. But so my understanding is, and certainly we don't have to make a decision now. So my impression is that most people would be happy both with Mary as well as with Bruce, so I guess we should ask both of them regarding their availability and take it from there. Chuck, please.
Thanks, Thomas. I think Alan raises a good question, and I'm thinking back over the history of our group, and if my memory is halfway accurate, Mary's been functioned pretty much as a constructive contributor rather than pushing for any particular position in an awful lot of cases, at least. So, granted that we should ask the question about optics, I think in the role that she has played, that at least from our perspective as a working group, we would be picking someone that has really played more of a role of trying to facilitate and help us reach some consensus in some areas than she has pushing one particular position. But that's my own personal view. I don't know if others agree with that. And so that, to me, would mitigate some of the concerns with regard to optics. Now, if it was someone like me who has really been pushing a registry stakeholder group position, as with David, we would not be a good choice, and I think optics would be more of a concern there. So anyway, I throw that out for everybody else to think about.
Thanks, Chuck. And you can imagine that we put exactly those parameters into our thinking as well. I see Brian's hand up. Brian, please.
Yes. Thank you, Thomas. Brian Peck from ICANN staff. And again, we will go with how the working group would like to be comfortable in terms of a moderator, but if there are some optics concerns, and I know one of the concerns was raised in terms of we were to have the professional moderators, professional facilitators, but including the services and the moderation, one of the they've asked for, to be brought up to speed. They understand some of the complexities of the issues involved. Marika was involved and was originally approached by Denise Michelle saying we have these facilitators in Durban and are there any of the GNSO activities that would benefit from this? So she's outlined to them a little bit about what what is involved in the history and if indeed if we wanted to engage in their services we would be responsible for bringing them up to speed and to providing background materials and making sure that they are fully prepared to be most effective in facilitating the meeting.
Thanks, Brian. That's very helpful, and let's get back to the option of a professional facilitator in a second, but I guess Chuck has raised his hand again. Please, Chuck.
Thanks. What about having using a professional moderator and someone like Mary who could assist the moderator with regard to content where that is needed? I mean, I know you probably want one primary moderator. It might be awkward to have two moderators, but if they were together so that, for example, if we decided to use Mary in that capacity, she could, or even, I suppose, Thomas, you could fulfill that role in assisting the moderator. But I throw that out as a different idea.
Thanks, Chuck. And since you mentioned my name, I'm not sure whether all of you in the working group already know, but I will not be able to come to Durban. Certainly, I can.
That's right. I'm sorry, Thomas. I forgot that.
Not to worry, but I thought I should share this with the working group anyway so that nobody is caught by surprise. I will not come to Durban. I will participate remotely. To the best extent possible and also help with the preparations. But I think that I'm needed more at home because we're expecting delivery of our third child surrounding the Durban meeting. So I won't be there. I will be watching everything from a distance, and I'm sure that you will make good progress without me being there. But can I hear some more views on the idea of including... Who's that?
Jim.
Jim, please.
I was going to suggest, just going back on some of the previous comments, why not have Bruce and Mary and have Bruce maybe give some general introduction as to what the issues are and maybe have Mary do more detail since she has been involved in the, in all of the deliberations of the working group. Because I think rather than a professional moderator, Bruce knows the issues and he's been involved from the board side on a lot of the issues that have come up. And it seems to me that we'd have been two experts who could, participate and be able to help guide the audience.
Thanks, Jim. Any more views on the potential role of a professional facilitator? Let me ask you whether there are people in the working group that would really like to have a professional facilitator involved in this. because so far my impression is that the response to that proposal, and certainly we're very thankful for that, is not overwhelmingly possible because the working group more trusts in the external expertise or the expertise of Bruce. Alan, please.
I can see huge benefits in having a professional facilitator work with this working group. I really don't see a lot of benefit in doing it in the public session. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of facilitation. And I don't think we're trying to negotiate a final answer or you know, delve deeply into things. There isn't going to be enough time. So I really don't see the real merits in it. If we were talking about having a facilitator trying to span the differences between people in this working group, and, you know, yielding real results, that would be a different question.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Alan. Adding to what Jim has said, asking both Mary and Bruce to work on this, does that proposal get some traction for the group? So, if I correct your suggestion correctly, you would like to have Bruce doing more the moderation part and Mary doing more the rapporteur type part of the moderation, where the views and what we've done so far in the working group needs to be reflected and reported to the community in a very neutral and unbiased fashion.
Yes, I think that would be my thought.
Any views on that? Okay, there are no further hands up. I just read in the chat that certainly we need to check Bruce's availability. So if Mary could give me an indication of whether she would also be happy to contribute to that type of approach, why don't we start on that basis and see whether we can get Bruce working with Mary, and I'm now curious, since she's typing, what the outcome of her typing will be, and should that... Okay. Thanks, Mary. So she would be available for that task. So if I could ask for your patience for a moment, we would then try to get hold of Bruce and ask him for his availability and then report back to the group. Okay, in
Thomas,
terms of...
Tom, sorry, excuse me, Brian from ICANN staff.
Please.
Is there any interest from the working group to utilize the X-Plane services in helping to, once we have an agenda and format, to help us, you know, actually organize or structure the meeting? You know, going back to organization, to timing, you know, maybe structuring the panel, so on and so forth like that. Is there any interest from the group to utilize those services?
I see support from Chuck. And I'm, you know, my personal perspective is, Brian, whatever we can do in order to increase the quality of the session will be beneficial. So Claudia has also given a sign of support in the Adobe. Thank you for that. So if we, you know, if based on the groundwork that we do, if the professional facilitators could help us with the preparation of the session, that would certainly be great. Now let me get back to the substance or the format of the meeting. I'm sure that your multitasking capabilities are good enough to having briefly taking a glance at the document, and maybe you're now in a position to comment on what questions we could maybe drop, what questions we could combine with another question. You will remember my sense of our discussion earlier in this call is that the group thinks that The first proposal's number of questions or the number of topics to be discussed there is a little bit ambitious for the length of the session that we might free some time for an open discussion there. Chuck, please.
Thanks, Thomas. Before we get into the specifics, which we need to do, I'd like to make a personal observation, see if others agree with me on this or disagree, either way. It seems to me that the real value of this session will be to get input from the audience. And if we agree on that, then the way it's designed in terms of how the moderators operate and each of us as members of the working group operate means we need to minimize our own participation and allow as much time as possible for input from those who have not been part of the working group. It should not be, in my opinion, a time for us to each reinforce and restate positions that we have in the working group, but rather to get reactions from our positions from those in the audience and suggestions from them. Now, is that an approach that others agree with, or do some see this as an opportunity to resell our positions?
Are there any comments on that?
It's Jim again.
Jim.
I don't think it should be an opportunity to resell, but I think somebody should, probably the moderator, should provide at least a very brief summary of who are these organizations, what do they stand for, and what types of protections are they seeking, and refer to the draft that's been put out for publication, and maybe that would stimulate the kind of comments we're looking for.
Thanks, Jim. Claudia?
Thomas, I also would agree that it's not an opportunity or shouldn't be an opportunity to resell our positions, especially since I don't think all of us would even be able to go, at least myself. I'm not able to go to represent, what ISO and IAC has said on the INGO criteria and so forth. I do think it is an excellent opportunity, however, Thomas, and you highlighted this in the beginning, to really highlight the significance, the importance, the relativity, the relevance of the working group's work, and the importance of people out there, constituencies out there, of submitting comments. I don't think that in an hour and a half session, something that we can't even do on a weekly basis, we're going to get some real comments back that we're going to be able to digest along with the comments that we're going to be getting, written comments. I'm not even sure how that's going to work. I do, however, think it's really an opportunity to get people to submit written comments so that we can then, at the end of the comment reply period, take a look at what everyone has said and get a better idea of what are the positions out there. So in that sense, when we look at all of these questions, I do hope that we spend less time on very, very specific and complicated questions and more time just highlighting the questions we've asked and some of the models we've talked about, just so that people will submit their comments, later in a way that is more detailed and can be digested comprehensively. Thank you.
Thanks, Claudia. Alan.
Thank you. Looking at what was proposed, and I understand that's just proposed and subject to change with our discussion, but we were recommending that there be 9 minutes to present the issues and then 6 minutes to discuss them. Knowing that it is almost impossible to hold people to 3-minute talks, some will do it in 1 minute and some will go on for 10, I would really suggest that whoever's hosting this make the statements with relation to the options, perhaps vetting the words they will use with the actual proponents of those options ahead of time, but doing concise descriptions without the slant and without the sales to present the issue. That may make for more time available. It may also try to limit the salesy aspects of this. Just a thought.
Thanks, Alan. And regarding your point with people going on for too long with contributions, Mary made a point in the chat, said that we might use the countdown clock as is used in the public forum. And, that's certainly something that should be done. Okay. Alan, did you want to add to that?
No.
I heard your voice.
If we want to keep the individuals presenting their own cases, then that's a pretty good way of doing it. I would cut down perhaps from 3 minutes to two, just because if it takes 3 minutes to present it, it's probably too complex a concept.
Good, but ultimately the question will be how much time do we want to spend on the presentation of the various views? And you will have noted by now that I was in favor of having a little bit more of an open format, yet ensuring by means of moderation that the important points are made and that that we don't start the discussion from scratch. But I guess the question that I would have for the group is whether you think that we should have all the propositions presented by different speakers, or whether that should be done by, in this case, potentially Mary as rapporteur, to have a very concise presentation of the various views and then be able to get to the substantive discussion with the audience sooner.
Thomas?
Jim?
I think myself that if you have Bruce and Mary, you could have the positions presented. I mean, the groups that are seeking protection could all have a chance to make sure their positions are accurately going to be presented, but you could have the presentations made through Bruce and Mary in a way that could be divided up, and then you'd have much more time for audience participation. I mean, they could summarize the positions of each of the four groups. They could talk about what was discussed in the working group. I think Mary would be probably best to do that. And maybe Bruce could do an overview on the groups themselves and why they're in the working group, why they're seeking the protection, and what type of protections they have that qualify them, and so on and so forth. And then you'd have probably much more time for audience back and forth.
Thanks, Jim, and I see support for this suggestion from Chuck. Let me ask the other way around whether there's any objection to such approach, which I would personally also be in favor of, to free up some time for discussion with the community. Nonetheless, I think we should take as an interim result that we work towards having the various views presented by the moderator or moderators. What I'd like to know from you is whether we should also have panelists, and I think that it may make sense to have panelists that could start a discussion on the subject matter for two reasons, one of which is to give actually biased views on why things are certain groups are passionate about one or other the one or other position, and that might help stimulate a discussion and contributions from the floor. But also, if the audience is not very active, then the moderator could have a discussion with the moderators, and we wouldn't have deafening silence after a couple of minutes. In which case, so I guess my question is twofold. One of which is, do we want to have panelists? And if so, how should we compose the panel? And just to give you an idea that you can either support or suggest alternatives to, one might think of having four panelists one of which coming from each of the stakeholder groups. And with that, I'd like to move to Chuck, please.
Thanks again, Thomas. One of the problems with having panelists, well, there's several problems, I think. Number one, because of the diversity in our group, I think we'd have to have a really large panel to be able to cover all the bases, or we would have a hard time just narrowing it down to a small group. Maybe not, but regardless, I think I lean more towards having those of us that are part of the work in of the working group and represent various positions in the audience, like everybody else, and then allowing the moderators the opportunity to call on us to make brief statements if it's helpful.
Chuck, a little follow-up question, but then also the burden of choice would be with the moderators as to whom to allow to speak and who not. So I guess whether the representatives of the various positions are sitting in the room or on the panel would need to be, you know, would need some preparatory work to prioritize or, you know, allow speaking opportunities or not. In which case, I propose, because I think it fairly reflects the ICANN community, at least under the current Geno structure, to have all the four stakeholder groups send one representative to the panel.
Thomas, Chuck again. But it's not just four stakeholder groups, really. There are more. I mean, what about the Red Cross and what about the IOC and what about IGOs and INGOs and that's what I was getting at. I don't think just having four stakeholder groups is enough. What about the at large? Do we exclude Alan? I don't think so. So that's the kind of the problems we get into. But one of the ways of dealing with the concern you express about putting the burden on the moderators to pick someone, we can help them. You know, we can kind of raise our hand out in the audience if we think maybe we can answer that question. And I think most of us are disciplined enough that if there's more than one of us for a particular view, like, for example, the registries, David Maher and I can, you know, agree who might best address that and do that. So I think that's manageable. I think we're disciplined enough and that we can do that. But, again, that's my thinking, and I'll listen to what everybody else thinks.
Thanks, Chuck. Jim, please.
Yeah, I was just going to second what Chuck said, but I think in addition to what Chuck said, I think if this is orchestrated with the moderators and they understand who's going to be there and that certain questions might be answerable by one or another, I think that, both Bruce and Mary could call on whoever they think is appropriate on a particular issue that's raised by somebody in the audience.
Thanks. And, this is supported by Chuck. And, Alan, you've lowered your hand in the meantime, and certainly I wasn't too surprised to see your hand up. Would you like to comment?
Not really, Chuck. I was going to point out that there's a lot more than the four GNSO stakeholder groups in this, and there's no way we can go back to just the four. They may be the ones voting in a final outcome of this working group, but they're not the only participants in the working group.
Sure.
So I just don't think that's an acceptable answer. Can I ask a question of fact as we go along? When is this meeting scheduled?
Wednesday from 11 to 12:30 local
okay.
time.
Thank you. I was just looking at my ATRT schedule to see if it conflicted. It doesn't at the moment.
Okay, great. Shall we take a look at the concrete questions to see what you would like to prioritize and what you would like to put lower on the priority list? So as we further define the agenda for this meeting, I think we should have ranking of things that are more important to the working group and those who are, that are of lower importance, which can then potentially be dropped if a good discussion is shall not be interrupted on a higher priority question. So any views on that? So you see on the in the Adobe the list of topics that are proposed to be discussed. So we have the question of acronyms, whether acronyms should be protected at the top or second level, and then we have the various proposals on the table, as can be seen from the initial report. We have the question of INGO identifiers should be protected other than RCRC and IOC. We have the topic of what the objective set of criteria to determine whether an organization should receive special protection should be. And the next question would be whether protections are provided through the reserve names list or whether there should be exceptions. So that would be the subject of discussing exception mechanisms. Lastly, it would be the question of how protections could be implemented to apply to existing TLDs. Alan.
Well, Thomas, the last question about application to existing, I thought that was something that the working group still has to consider, and that should be a topic for the working group's further deliberations and not particularly for this public group.
Well, I guess that's up to us whether we want to try to obtain community feedback on that subject as well. I guess it might help stimulate our discussions on that as we move on. But your point is well taken. Alan.
Thank you. I'll just point out that topic B is waving a huge red flag at some groups. One of the mandates of this group is to decide whether and exactly what kind of protection the RCRC and IOC get. That statement is phrased as if that decision was already made, and some people may object. I'm just raising a flag about a red flag.
So I guess that we can redraft the question to not sound like protections were already agreed upon by the working group. Chuck?
Thanks, Thomas. Let me first respond to Alan's point. I think probably you could just reword topic B to address that and maybe make it look an awful lot like topic C. In other words, you have three options there. Should the identifiers of the following organizations be protected, and then break it down into the three categories like you do in C. What I was going to, and then I wanted to talk about topic E. I know it's already been suggested that we need to reduce the list, and I would suggest, again, my own personal opinion is that we could drop topic E, not because it's not important, but because, unless I'm missing something, it's really covered. I don't even know that we need to do too much work there. If we recommend any consensus policy and the board approves it, it will be adopted by existing GTLDs. If we don't recommend any consensus policies, it won't. It's as simple as that, the way the contracts are worded, but I may be oversimplifying it. Now, one last comment on this. I think the more I look at topics A, B, C, and D, I actually like them quite a bit, because I think they do cover the areas where it would be very helpful if we got input from the audience, and I think fairly efficiently. But again, I just throw that out as my opinion. Thanks,
Chuck. I would I would echo what you were saying in terms of the questions and their potential for obtaining exactly the information that we seek from the seek to obtain from the community. I was wondering whether one might consider changing the order. You know, I'm not sure whether whether it would make more sense to talk about criteria for protections before talking about what should be protected, i.e. before talking about protection of acronyms. So any views on that? To give you an interim result, I think where we're standing as a group at the moment is that we would drop topic C if we have to. We would keep the first four topics. And I have now suggested to maybe change the order.
Thomas, this is Chuck. How would you change the order?
I would just start with topic C to talk about objective criteria for protections first. Before you know, the eligibility, I think, is the question that needs to be answered first before talking about concrete mechanisms and about the scope. And topic A, B, and D are discussing the scope and the tools. So continuing this conversation with you, I would start with topic C, A, B, and afterwards D. Alan.
I'd actually end with C, not begin with C, because that allows us to introduce the concept that there can be different criteria for different levels of protection from the same type of group. And that's something that I, and a number of others are continually talking about in this group, but it falls by the wayside every time. So there doesn't need to be a criteria for a given class of organization. There may be different criteria to satisfy depending on which level of protection we're talking about. So I think it makes sense to, in fact, talk about it at the end where we can introduce that concept and it has some context.
Okay, I see that your suggestion gets support from Chuck. Would you leave the order of the of A, B, and D as is, or would you change that as well?
No, I don't think it really matters. It's fine, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, Chuck.
Yeah, I don't think we want to start with acronyms, so I would change that. I think it's probably better. I think I would do B, C, A. Wait a second. I agree with Alan, as you saw, that the one, what was it, C's last, so I guess it would be B, D, A, and then C is the way I would do it. I hope I got that right.
Okay, so the proposal is B, D, A, C. Any objections?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
With a slightly rephrased heading for topic B.
Yes.
Okay, I guess some of you might wish to see how this feels once you have the format in front of you. So are there more proposals, suggestions for this?
Thomas, this is Brian.
Could you
just confirm how you'd like us to reformat it?
B, D, A, C.
B, D, A, C.
Yes, and then we would not have the various views represented by various or by different individuals, but that would be done by the moderator or co-moderators, and if need be, the positions would be asked from the floor. Barry has reminded us to complete the poll, the doodle poll, so that we know who's there. I guess that would also be helpful in preparing this meeting. Greg.
Hi, this is Greg Chatton. I guess I just wanted to, you know, I was thinking about whether topic E really should be dropped, and I think that while it is true that whatever we decide, you know, would and should apply to existing TLDs, there are at least implementation issues, you know, such as grandfathering and, how do you deal with a TLD that's already in operation as opposed to one where nothing yet has been delegated or acquired. So while it may not be at the same level, and I'll put aside the question of whether it's policy or implementation or something, that there are at least, you know, concerns and issues there that probably need to be dealt with, and maybe it's just as simple as yes, it will apply, and no, it won't be retroactive, but it will take, you know, effect as of day X, and maybe we don't need to really talk about it, but at some point, you know, at least the group needs to talk about it, whether it needs to be part of public discussion. I'm not quite so sure, but I think it's given that it's part of our mandate, and we've kind of never discussed how it will be applied to that matrix of facts. It, I think, requires some, some discussion, at least to show that we've haven't forgotten about it completely. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Before I take Ellen, I'd like to let you know that, in at least for those who are not in the Adobe, that he gets some support in terms of to keep E in case we have time for it, and Avery even said that we should talk about E. And while Ellen speaks, maybe Avery can, or others that are supportive of the idea of keeping E, maybe they could provide us with some concrete ideas as to what we should ask from the community. Ellen.
Yeah, thank you. I guess since we haven't really discussed it and haven't even identified the key questions that come up, Chuck is right that barring anything we explicitly do, this will apply to the GTLD, to the existing GTLDs, but we likely, if only to avoid the implementation versus policy issue, we should go over the issues and decide which issues are subject to grandfathering, which issues don't apply at all because they're only applied to the startup of a TLD, and those kind of things. So I think we're going to have a fair amount of work to do. It may or may not be controversial, and I suspect the working group will take the attitude that to the extent possible, the old TLD should implement the entire recommendations, at least the parts that make sense in terms of, you know, we can't go back in history. And we're probably not going to take away TLDs from people who rightfully have them, but we may want to make sure that they don't get transferred or re-registered or something like that. So it's going to take a fair amount of talking, but we haven't had those conversations at all. And I think it's premature to start soliciting input from the public where, I don't know how that was going to fit into our discussions. So I think there's work to do. I don't think it's a no-brainer, but we haven't done it yet, and I think it's premature.
Okay,
Chuck's right though. If we want to keep it as the fifth topic, in case we run it, we have an extra half hour to spend. We can go for it. I'm not optimistic that will happen.
Yes, and this is the reason why I'm asking you. Not you personally, Ellen, although I also ask you personally, but I'm asking the whole group whether you have concrete suggestions for topics that you'd like to get answers to when it comes to the existing TLDs. I see in the chat that the issue of transfers is an issue that I thought there were two different aspects in the chat, which obviously there aren't. But I guess that we would need from the group in preparation for this meeting some proposals for the moderator for questions that they can ask the group. Avery. Avery, you have raised your hand. Now it's down. Are you trying to speak? Maybe you're on mute.
He's not even on Adobe Connect anymore.
So there may have been some technical issues there. So, should Avery come back into the call, she'll certainly get a chance to speak. But, why don't we keep E in reserve in case we have time left? And if you could please send some concrete questions to the mailing list that we could include into the script for the moderators, that would be great. So, any additional views, questions? Chuck?
Yeah, Thomas, some of the questions have been, I think, kind of been raised in the chat. Aubrey, for example, raised the issue of making it retroactive, and I'm gathering by other comments she made in the chat that she means removing names. So that automatically leads to a couple questions that could fall under that with regard to that. So a similar question is, should any names, they're kind of similar questions, but they could be asked two different ways. Should any of the organization names that are to be protected going forward, should those that are already registered, should they be grandfathered? And, of course, the opposite question is, should they be removed? So I think we have some questions there. I'm not saying that people shouldn't send questions to the list like you asked, but I think we have a couple already.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chuck. And Barry rightfully reminds us to bring up other issues if we think that five areas that you find in the Adobe are not sufficient to cover all the or cover at least the biggest questions that the working group has. I would say that if we can touch upon at least four out of the five sections and get meaningful input from the community, that would be great. But do you have any further areas that we should include that so far have been neglected in our preparations? Okay, hearing and reading.
So Thomas, this is Chuck.
Chuck.
That's
Chuck,
a new hand that I put in there.
I thought it was an old hand. Sorry for that.
Yeah, I got that idea. So no problem. I put this in the chat quite a bit ago, but we ought to really encourage the audience participants to ask any questions they have of us on this, because there may be some areas where they need clarity. Now, hopefully they would do that anyway, but I think we ought to explicitly encourage any questions that they have.
That's a good point, and I think we will take note of that and have that or make that one of the moderators' tasks to ensure that they ask questions, that they encourage the audience to ask questions. Okay, any further contributions? Hearing and seeing none, I guess we can end this call. Looking at Barry and Brian, did I forget any important matters? Barry, please.
Thomas,
Brian, please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two things. One is, I'll go ahead, we'll reformat the agenda and the objective, or not the objective, I think everyone agreed on that, on the form, the questions and moderator suggestions, and I'll submit that to Explain and see if they have any suggestions in terms of organization or structuring that could help us facilitate the discussions, if that's okay with the group.
Sounds like a plan, yes.
Okay. The other is, you know, we also have our face-to-face working group meeting scheduled for that Monday, I believe from 1500 to 1700, and which is, you know, as we had in Beijing, where it's an actual working group session. You know, obviously the public comment forum is still open at that time, but I think, you know, it would still be beneficial for the working group to meet if agreeable, and perhaps we could briefly discuss what the purpose of the meeting would be. Perhaps, for example, you know, reviewing comments submitted to date, maybe looking at some of the other issues we've hadn't had as much time for, like the, you know, looking at the exception procedures a little bit more, although granted that will be a discussion in the public discussion on Wednesday. Implementation of all the GTLDs. So maybe not necessarily on this call right now, but perhaps we should give some thought on, you know, what would be most useful in terms of utilizing the face-to-face session on that Monday.
Excellent point. Any support for this or objections, alternative proposals? No, I thought Barry, you also had your hands up.
This is Barry. Basically, just to cover what Brian had said, I'd state that the only caveat to Monday is that there are some conflicts with some of the bigger sessions. We've tried to reschedule to allow a little bit of comfort around some of those competing sessions. But we do believe that it'd be a good just kind of roll our sleeves up kind of session, not necessarily focused on any of the public, but merely face-to-face for the working group. We can review through, you know, the next version of the presentation that's going to be performed on Wednesday. And as Brian mentioned, definitely touch on topics that we haven't either talked about before and or at least review some of the public comments that have been submitted from the initial report.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Barry. Any comments on that? Okay, I'm seeing no further reactions. In which case, I would like to end this call and thank all of you for your participation and your contributions. You can expect from us an updated outline of the meeting, which you can certainly comment on the mailing list. And with that, I'd like to thank all of you and have a great remaining day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tom.